Welcome. Well, we're going to continue in the book of 2 Timothy. We've been going through all kinds of crazy stuff. False teachers, false prophets, false Christians. False Christians. No, Pete, not false Christians. Yes, false Christians. They call them tares in the Bible. They grow alongside the wheat, and you can't tell one from the other. They look exactly the same. The only difference is the wheat, when they get full of grain, what happens to them? They bow down. The tares are prideful. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm the one. I'm the guy. I'm the gal. You know, look at me. They go throughout, never coming under authority of anyone, just kind of going about, you know. This is what they do. God's not carnal. God's not flesh. He's spirit. And one of the things we pray for is that His spirit will guide the teaching wherever it needs to go. Guys, if you're sitting here, the message is for you. A lot of us think it's for my spouse, my kids, No, they're not here. If God wanted them to hear that message, He'd get a hold of them. They would be here. God is in control of all these things. Don't think for a minute that man is in control of these things. That's pride. In the book of Timothy, as we go through it, we see the false teachers, the blasphemers. Remember, knowing in the last days, perilous times will come. Times of stress it was, you recall. Don't get all stressed out about things that you can't control. Don't even get stressed out about things that you do or are in control of. Just let God do what He's going to do in your life, in your business, in your kids, in your work, and everything that you have. Because you cannot change a person by talking to them. You can speak to them, but it has to be the Spirit of God that flows through the message that gets to them. Not you. If you think for a minute that you can convince or talk someone in or out of something, that's pride. I've had that before. I try to let go of that. When people are upset for whatever reason, I used to seek them and try and find out, well, what's going on? Where are you? What are you doing? I don't worry about it anymore. That's God's issue. People used to get mad at me because when people would leave, I don't chase them. Well, you never called. Well, don't you love me? Yeah, I love you. I pray for you all the time. But I'm not going to try and woo you back to something that you've decided isn't right for you. That's not my call. My call is to preach forth the Word of God. Speak forth the Word of God and let God carry it wherever He does. In the last days, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Open up your checkbook, see where you're spending your money. That's a good indicator of what your God is. How much do you give to God and how much do you give to you? Now, I'm not one of these preachers that's going to make you feel guilty for having stuff. Stuff is stuff. I have a lot of stuff. You know, I've accumulated over a lot of years. It's not about how much stuff you have or don't have. It's about if your heart is placed. If you're tithing your minimal 10%. There's some people who tithe 90%.
Whoa.
If you're just tithing the very minimal, let's say 10% of your net. Some people tithe their gross. It doesn't matter. You need to find God's purpose for you, what He wants you to give, what He wants you to let go of. He's called me to let go of things that He hasn't called you guys to let go of. Why? Because I'm accountable for more. The heat's on. This is what we're facing in these days. We are in the last days. You know, there's no doubt in my mind at all. What we did last week in Timothy, we were in chapter 3 and we went down almost to the end or right up to the end. But I'm going to pick up in verse 16. Because last week the message was fully known. Remember like the song that you hear on the Christian station? I'm Fully Known by Torrin Wells. You know, fully known. Do you fully know God to your utmost ability? We know He fully knows you. Do you fully know the Scripture to your utmost ability? I don't know what your ability is. You could have issues, you know, the brain injury I had, I have issues, you know, things aren't there sometimes, and I try and grasp for them. You know what's the weirdest thing to me? Is people will say, yeah, it's over there by Richards Avenue. And I'm like, Richards Avenue, Richards, where is that? I cannot remember where Richards Avenue is. But because of the issues I have, I can't grasp things like I used to in my mind. And that's okay. We have issues. Are you fully known? Do you fully know the Scriptures as per your ability to know? Or are you just slacking? Because the Bible says, do not be slack in these things. It brings us up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Lord God, that by the abilities given to us, Lord, that we would be able to focus and put our attention on you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would carry this message, Lord God, to the hearts of every soul, every mind, every body. Lord Jesus, we know that if we're here, this is for us. I know that these things that I've studied are for me, for you have ordained them and set them in order and set them in motion, Lord God, so that they would be profitable to me as a teacher, that they would be profitable to me as a Christian and a father and a husband and a grandfather, a pastor, all the above. Help us all have this same attitude and mindset, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. We all said,
amen.
The message is, I charge you. Because in verse 1, he's going to say, I charge you with certain things. When I first became a Christian, I had a thought pattern that because they're called the pastoral epistles, that perhaps it was only for pastors. I was ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean anything other than not knowing. I didn't know the difference. When they would say, well, those are the pastoral epistles, I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't read those. I'm not a pastor. But you see, as I grew and started listening to the Word of God, and I was being taught the Word of God, I understood that the whole counsel of the Word of God is for everyone, every one of us. Because in essence, we're going to see that we're all teachers. Everybody here will teach or should teach someone something about Jesus to your own ability at some time and point in your life. And it says over here, remember he reminded Timothy that he was trained up since childhood in verse 15. He knows the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, Timothy, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says something very interesting in verse 16 and 17. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Theunatus. Remember we talked about it? God breathed into the mind or the spirit of these men, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Okay? Reproof. Correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not only for pastors. This is for everybody. The whole council right there says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for everything, for everyone. In verse 3, 16, and 17, all Scripture, the directive is given through the Word of God. One of the directives is it's inspired by God. So it's given by God, it's inspired in us by God, and it's profitable. The word doctrine, it means learning, teaching. So every portion of Scripture, where Scripture says, pastors, don't be given to wine. I take that literally. I take that literally. As a Christian, I took it literally. I said, I don't want that. I know many pastors who drink. I'm not going to condemn them. That's not my place. That's up to God to speak to them if it's right or if it's wrong. What I do is I have to glean the Word of God according to the hermeneutics that we practice, you know, in history, culture, and all that. It's interesting because wine in those days, it's been said, and you can read some historical accounts where they use it to purify the water. It wasn't wine like we have now, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20%. It's not that kind of wine. It was a diluted. Timothy is a pastor, and he said, Paul said to drink a little wine. Why did he tell him to drink a little wine if he's a pastor? After he told him, don't drink wine for his stomach's sake. There was something going on. Who knows what he had, but he had impure water sources. The alcohol would help it out a little bit. Whatever his issue, the Word of God is not contradictory. Okay? So he says, for doctrine, for reproof. It's an active word, meaning compassion, tender, mercy, reproof, or reproofing, expression of blame or disapproval. So notice, this is the Greek translation for reproof. It's an active word. You got to be active in it. You know how you are as parents. Those of you who are parents, you're always correcting. Always correcting. How many of you have grown-up children? You know what it's like. They may not even live in your house, and you're still, go here, go here, don't do that, when are you going to do this, when are you going to do that? You know how it is. You're always a parent. This is what that word means. It's active. It's always. It has to be filled with compassion, tender mercy, but nevertheless, expression of blame and disapproval. You did this. You messed up your room. You clean it. I'm not going to clean it for you. I cleaned it for you once. Now you clean it. You deliberately messed it up because you were upset. Now you clean it. That's what it means. You do it with compassion, tender mercy. Yelling isn't always the best thing. Usually when yelling happens, people, they turn you off. How many of you have been yelled at? You know what it's like. Someone starts yelling, you're like, oh my God. You don't even care what they're saying because they're obviously angry, out of control, making no sense, self-justifying, not taking any responsibility. So why do you want to argue with that? The Bible says not to argue with a drunkard. Why? Because he's not of a sound mind. Someone who's angry is not of a sound mind. Don't talk to me. When you're angry, in other words, then it's good for correction. So the directive is given, inspired, profitable, and it's good for correction. The word means straightening up again. It has other small definitions, but this was the one in the Greek that just stood out to me. Straightening up again. When you trip and you fall flat on your face, what's the first thing you think of doing? Standing up. You don't just lay there unless you're injured and say, oh man, I got a mouthful of dirt. This is good. I wonder if I should lay down or trip somewhere else. You don't just lay there and say, hey, go stay here for a while. Yeah, this is nice. I like it. Ants are crawling on you. You don't do that. That's ridiculous. I know. You straighten up again. You stand up again. When somebody rebukes you, rebuke doesn't mean, you stupid Christian, and start beating them. It means, hey man, this is wrong. You can be sitting here just in a message, and I don't know, but God could be rebuking the stuffings out of you, and I wouldn't know it. Correction means straightening up again. Get right where you need to be. Get right. Now, if you trip and you stumble and you fall and you hurt yourself, it takes a while to get up. And sometimes our sin will cause us to fall, and it hurts. And it hurts bad. And we may have a dislocated shoulder or something. And it's going to take a while to heal. That's a whole different situation. But if you just stumble, get up right away. The next word he uses is instruction. Instruction. It's like the word tutor, to break it down into simpler forms. In the original language, it's like a tutor or tutorial. It means education. So you need to get educated. Gosh, Pete, that hurts. I don't mean in chemistry or English or anything. In the Word of God. We need to be educated. I've been teaching for almost 25 years, and I'm still learning. I can't believe how deep the Word of God is. It just layer upon layer upon layer. He just reveals more and more and more. This is what we need to remember. We need to continuing education. Those of you who are in professions that need to be continually educated with the new systems, with the new software, with whatever it is, same thing. Training by disciplinary. God will teach you. Now you can listen to the Word of God or read the Word of God and just grab onto it and run with it. Like the guy running in the Olympics with the torch. He or she, they're booking it, man. They're running. They're doing their best because they're on a mission. And when they hand it off to someone else, that's still their mission. They were a part of that. And when they go and the last one who gets the honors of igniting it, they're all honored the same. That's the way we are. Everyone has a part of it. Every one of us. And yes, if we don't run with the flame, God will discipline us. Chastening, correction, nurture, though. It's interesting because it uses the word nurture. In discipline, there should be nurturing. There should be not the tearing down. There should be the disciplinary action so that they can feel the consequence, perhaps, but you don't tear them down. You don't say, you stupid, stupid Christian, what were you thinking? You stupid child, what were you thinking? You say, this is wrong. You need to get this right. It's interesting because it comes from another word, paideo, which means training up a child, equipping them for life. The Word of God is like a parent training a child, equipping them for life. My dad taught us how to work. Taught us that there's no work beneath us. You do anything they ask you. He used to tell me, whatever they ask of you, you do. Even if it's not electrical. I've had guys that I've hired. I remember 15 years ago, I hired a guy and he had a journeyman license. I told everybody, okay, let's pick up the stuff. Everybody pick it up. Helpers, journeymen, everything. And this guy, he picked up his tools and he walked to the van and he sat in the van. I said, where's the guy? He's in the van. Okay. Walked over there. Hey, man, what's going on? Oh, nothing. I'm just waiting for them to pick up. I said, well, why don't you go and help them? He says, I'm a journeyman. I go, I'm the owner and I'm going to be there helping them. You can either go and help them or you can get your tools and leave. He took his tools and left. My dad said, nothing's beneath them. And that's a good teaching because it comes from godly principles. The greatest is the servant of all. So these are little things that go with the directive. And in verse 17, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's the purpose. We saw the directive, and now let's look at the purpose. The word complete, artios, it means perfect, complete, fresh. You know how you just don't feel right? If you ever get up late and, wow, I got to get to work, or I got to be somewhere, and you just don't have time for the shower. And sometimes you bypass it because things just didn't work out. The alarm clock didn't go off, something, you know. You put a cap on and you go, but you don't feel fresh, awake. Like if you do when you take a shower, it wakes you up and you're ready to go and run out. It kind of has that connotation with it, being complete. And then it says equipped, exharazo, and it means to finish out, to fully equip, like a teacher. A teacher has to show up before an audience, whether it's first grade, 12th grade, if it's college level, it doesn't matter. They have to be equipped. They have to know their material because they're going to be tested on it. They're going to be questioned on it. Sometimes the most amazing questions come from little kids to me, the most profound questions. When they ask me something about Scripture, it's like, whoa. That's amazing how they have that insight. So it needs to be finished, fully equipped like a teacher, accomplished, thoroughly furnished. And I like that word. Not finished, furnished. It's interesting to me because it has that definition because the Bible says that you're like a spiritual house in Peter, being built by God, one stone at a time. He's building a spiritual house in you. He wants you to be thoroughly finished, furnished. Isn't that amazing? You know how it is when you're young and you're starting out and you scrape a few pennies together, enough for a down payment. And Yvonne and I, we got into a mobile home and we didn't have furniture. It took a while. So we'd furnish one room with what we had. And then later on, another room. I remember we only had one child at the time. And so the other room was like not important. It was like a storage room. But then the other child came and you start furnishing it. But you can't afford it all at once, so you buy a little this and a little that till it finally gets there. That's what it means. Has God got there with you yet? Has He got you to a point where your room is almost finished? And then there's another room that He wants to work in your life, and then He starts working in that life. He starts bringing things in and asking you to bring certain things from the Word of God to make that room complete, thoroughly furnished. And that brings us to our study in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence the name of the message, I charge you. The word charge you means I direct through you. So He's training this guy Timothy to train other people. God is training you so that you can share the message of Jesus Christ with other people. He's charging you, directing through you. Why do I want to be real specific in the teaching of the Word of God? For one, I'm accountable for God, to God for it. Two, because I want you guys to go out there and breed, if you will, other Christians. Healthy sheep are reproductive sheep. They know the Word of God. They graze at the Word of God. They feed on the Word of God. And then they go out and they teach other people. They multiply. Be fruitful and multiply, not just physically, spiritually Multiply. Start to share your faith with others. This word charge means directing through you. It's a prime preposition that means to avoid because of. The word is dia, like our word for day, D-I-A. It means to avoid certain things. How do you get to a point where you're able to teach and the Holy Spirit starts using you? He's going to ask you to avoid certain places, certain people, certain things. Why? Because He wants you pure. The more pure or the cleaner the vessel, if you're just cleaning the outside, He says, clean the inside. Clean those rooms inside of us. This mind of ours, you know how it is. You got to bring that into control somehow. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, He's making Himself clean right here. I try and teach the Word of God and not veer from it because I'm accountable for it and I want my hands clean. I warn you about the hard things, the things that would drive some people away, make them go somewhere else. Why? Because if they don't hear it from me and it's in the Word of God and I overpass it because I'm afraid to lose sheep, I'm not afraid to lose sheep. They're not my sheep. They're God's sheep. And the Bible says that you have to be like the man on the tower. If he sees the enemy coming, warn the people and your hands will be clean, even if they don't listen to you and they get defeated. But if you don't warn them, then it's their blood on my hands. So he's saying, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy. Make no mistake, I'm not going to be guilty of this blood, he says, that you go and do the same. And it says, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy, exclamation mark. This is emphatic. It's, listen, teach the word of God. Just teach it, you know, boom. And he marks it with an exclamation mark. Be ready in season and out of season. Doesn't matter if it's summer, winter, fall, spring. Doesn't matter. Always be ready in any type of season. It doesn't matter if you're going through extreme blessings. Preach it. If you're going through extreme hardship, preach it. You know the best therapy to get your mind off of your situation is to get active in preaching the Word of God. When Yvonne and I came to the Lord, we were a mess. I didn't think either one of us was going to survive. It was totally a wreck. And I just said, I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach, Lord. I'm going to, the little bit I know, I'm just going to tell everybody at work. I don't care if they leave me or not. I don't care if I keep friends or not. I started thinking differently. That's how I knew I was born again. If you're still thinking the same way you used to think before, then maybe you should just revisit that dedication area of your life. Don't be ashamed. You just go and tell Jesus, you know what, God, I need that powerful touch from you, Lord God. He'll give it to you. Preach the word, in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering is patience. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time, and I believe we're in it now, with the progressiveness of churches. I've spoken of it, the progressiveness of churches where they're allowing the world into the church. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. I hope you haven't. But if you've seen it, don't be a part of it. Be careful. The Bible says, do not lay hands on anyone too swiftly, lest you share in other people's sin. That's a very important scripture. Before I was a pastor, I'd look at that and I says, show me, God, who I should befriend. Show me who I can trust. Show me who to pray for. Who's going to stomp on it? Who's going to throw it out? Who's going to have ears to hear? Who's going to follow? We need to start praying along these ways because if not, we're just dumb sheep. We have all this head knowledge, but we're not moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to check with God daily. I can't do it for you except God. And there's a time coming where they will not endure sound doctrine. I've told people, don't lay hands on someone so quick. Why are you doing that? Well, they're cool. Guys, be wise sheep. Be wise sheep. It says, they're not going to endure it. What does that mean? We'll get to it in a little bit. Goes on to say, But according to their own desires. Gives you a little hint of why they're not enduring sound doctrine. They have other desires. Their own desires. It doesn't say according to God's desires. Their own desires. Because they have itchy ears. What does that mean? It means they want to go everywhere and do everything. And I don't know. Maybe some people are called to do that. I'm not called to do that. You need to know your calling. But here he's warning about people who have itchy ears. What do they do? What does that mean? They will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If you're in a progressive Bible study, let's call it, and they're teaching, I know Bible studies that are progressive, they drink and smoke, cuss. The Bible study? Yeah. Progressiveness. They talk about the latest movies and the latest this and the latest that. You're there for a Bible study. You want to encourage one another through the Word of God. You want to pray for the sick. Lay hands on the hurting. Give of your own substance if there's someone in the group who needs help. That's what the body of Christ is for. But they just want to be popular, like a politician. These are the warnings of the last days, guys. Don't shut your ears to it. He says, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let's break it down a little bit. Preach the word. That's very obvious. Be ready. The old King James, the word is instant. Be instant. And that threw me for a little bit of a loop. I had to check into it, see exactly what it means. In the Greek, it means to stand upon, to be present, to stand before. Always be instantly standing in the word of truth. So that when something progressive or false or just flat out wrong comes across your ears, right away you're going to say, what? That's not right. The word of God doesn't say that. The word of God says this. Be instant. And now we know that, you know, the directive is to correct these things. So now you're in an instant. You're in an instant situation. You have someone who has itchy ears and they're just all over the place. What do you do? Tell them. Because if you don't, they could get into some false teaching, some false doctrine, some progressive Christian style living, and walk away from the Lord. Nobody can steal your faith. But Hebrews 6, it appears that you can willfully walk away. Well, why would anyone walk away? Because of false teaching and false teachers and tares, false Christians. And you assimilate to it. Remember the glove? Nobody puts a white glove on, sticks it in the mud, and the mud turns white. No, the glove turns muddy, and so will you, and so will I. Don't listen to the false teaching. Make sure you know the difference. Year round, we talked about that, in season, out of season, year round. Convince. The word in the Greek means to reprove, admonish, and tell a fault. You're wrong, man. That's not what it says. That's all it means. Rebuke literally means in the Greek, forbid. Don't do that, bro. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do that. This is what the word says. Forbid means to refuse or to allow something. Don't let it go any longer. Be instant. Stop it right away. I remember a guy who fell on a job and he landed on sheet metal that was stubbed out through the roof. That thing's like a knife. And he fell and it cut muscles, tendons, everything. And I wasn't there, but when I went over there on the job, I saw the blood. There was blood everywhere. Now, there was two carpenters there and no one else. It was early in the morning that they just happened to show up at 6 in the morning, those two companies. They were falling behind. And the two guys, you know what they could have done? They could have just said, what should we do? I don't know. He's bleeding a lot. I know, there's a lot of blood. You think we should call 911? I don't know. Well, maybe we should put a tourniquet. Well, what if he loses his arm? He might sue us. I don't know. You're right. And they could have stayed there talking about it. The guy's life was literally in their hands. It was a time for instant action. He fell and he got up and he was holding it. One guy helped him off the roof. The other guy brought the van around flying. They threw him in the van. They took him to Santa Fe, and they put a tourniquet on it, and they had compression on it. There was blood, and it was gross all over the place, but it saved his life. The doctor said, had they not done that, you would have bled to death. Guys, get real. If someone's out of order, tell them. Don't be worried about losing their friendship. They might walk away from their salvation. That's what false teaching, progressiveness, is so dangerous. It comes in by stealth, secretly. You can't hear it, you can't see it, it just happens. And if you adhere to it, it could ruin you. And then exhort. Call near, invite. Call to be good. Comfort, pray. You got to pray like crazy. And sometimes you got to draw near to that person who's out of order, dislocated, if you will. And maybe you got to invite them to lunch or something and just really say, dude, I can't hang out with you. If you're going to keep doing this, I can't hang out with you. Because the Bible says to guard your own salvation with fear and trembling. What if it's my husband? What if it's my wife? You need to talk to them. Doesn't mean they'll hear you, but you need to talk to them. Not yell. If you're a yeller, don't yell, because they're not going to hear you. You're just going to get yelling in return. And pray and teach. You got to teach. How do we teach the best? By your conduct, your walk. Your walk may be the only Bible anyone will ever read. A changed life is hard to deny. How do we refute that? And if people say, oh, who do you think you are now? Because you go to some church, you think you have the words of life in you? I sure do. Well, that's pretty prideful of you. Have you ever heard of the sin of pride? Yeah, but I'm telling you with all the humility. And I say, yeah, I know you. I'll just watch you for a while. See if there's anything different in your life. And if there's good things happening in your life, if there's fruit and you're bringing forth fruit, they can't refute it. I go to guys that I used to party hard with, and I say, let me pray with you. They say, okay, Pete. Because they knew that Pete, and they know this Pete, and he ain't the same Pete. Teach by the way you walk. Fulfill your ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those instructions, Lord God. Help us not for a moment think that it's anything but you, Lord. It's more like everything of you. Everything works together for good to those who are called according to your purpose. Lord, we ask that you would call us to love you more. Help us to love you more, because I know, we all know that the more we love you, the more we can tame this flesh we live in, Lord. The more we can bring it under control, the more we can help others, Lord God. For if we're not given to the Word, if we're not given by the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer, then we're just a voice in the wind. Help us to be directive with our words, kind, meaningful, purposeful, loving, tender, understanding. Father, help us to be like Jesus, the best that we can, according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.